Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Hey, Larson.
Get your best slam dance together because we're about to do another punk daily.
This is more like
not
tangential.
Really a punk daily.
This is more like tangential punk news.
This yeah, like so like people are sort of speaking around punk.
This is like people talking about punk daily. So,
right.
It's like if we there was a show talking about us talking about punk. That'd be the,
analogy. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Anyways, people are probably like, what are these two rambling about? Listen, during an interview with Insider.
Insider.
What is Insider?
I don't know. Is this insider.com?
All right. Tony Khan, who was talking with Insider. was asked about firing CM Punk. And while he declined to comment on it so as to avoid another Punk Daily from going in Raw, he did talk about his decision to address the Collision crowd in Chicago the day that Punk's dismissal was announced. This is what Tony Khan said to Insider.
Insider.
You can't see everybody's face from the center of the ring. You have to choose one side of the crowd to face when you're in the ring. And I wanted to be able to see everybody. I felt like I'm not a wrestler. I don't need to be in the ring. And for this moment, I thought I would just sit down and talk to everybody. That's why I brought out chair. And when I was done and walked backstage, the first person I saw was Ricky Dragon Steamboat. And he said, that was great. You turned the crowd. You turned them around. That's so hard to do and you did it. I felt I at least owed that much to the wrestlers and the fans to go out there and talk to everybody. So that's it. It didn't really dive into the minutia of
I
sold a bunch of tickets and people would probably be pissed off if they thought that Punk was going to be there and then he wasn't there.
And there was no explanation.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, we criticized Tony Khan a lot for a variety of things, including his leadership skills.
Yeah, backstage. Right.
This was a stand-up thing to do, to go out there and address the crowd, which potentially could have been somewhat hostile. They're in Chicago. Chicago historically loves CM Punk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Went out there, explained himself, explained his decision, and it seemed like people at first were like, boo this man. He fired fired CM Punk. By the end, they're like, okay, this makes sense.
Some sympathy was tossed his way in the form of Tony Chance.
Yeah.
So he did. Dragon Steamboat was correct. He did turn the crowd around to some degree.
Yeah.
So, interesting that he would speak on this and not more on, I want to know what happened in that room.
Well, I'm happy you asked because Samoa Joe was asked about that incident, the CM Punk, Jack Perry incident. We don't know anything about the Tony Khan CM Punk incident.
That's what
I was
talking about.
That's
going to
be remain a mystery forever.
Maybe.
So, Samoa Joe was asked about the altercation between Punk and Jungle Boy Jack Perry while talking to the New York Post. This is what Joe had to say. For the most part, I haven't read what's been portrayed. There's been so much said. I'm not one to go out there and try to debunk everything. I know we had the initial incident. Everybody rallied. Everybody got together, got their heads together and lined up and got ready to do the show. We went out there and we did the show. That really was the focus at that point in time. We got a massive show to do. And we got fans out there rabid to see that happen. So it's important that we step up and do it. It's important that we did it. And I was proud to be a part of that. I'm used to that environment. He's asked about how tense the situation was backstage. Joe said, I'm used to that environment. Those things don't seem very intense to me, but it could be something crazy intense to someone else. I wasn't really affected by the moment. I was more focused on getting the show back on track and getting us going because it was bell time. Mm-hmm. Talking about leadership, Samoa Joe, leader.
Been through some real shit, that Samoa Joe.
Unfazed. Everybody, focus on the show. Leader.
He's like, look, I was in NOM. This was nothing. I don't think he was actually in NOM. He's like our age. But in the wrestling industry, I'm sure he's seen some crazy shit, backstage. Who knows what, for example, Necro Butcher was doing backstage, although he seems like a pretty chill dude. Like when you watch on the wrestler, he seems pretty chill.
Yeah, maybe.
Not in the ring, but like backstage.
Yeah. In terms of like politics and stuff, Joe's seen a lot of crazy stuff in TNA Impact.
I mean, he was in WWE. Like being in the room with Vince McMahon is probably a pretty intense experience.
It's probably a nightmare scenario right there.
Total nightmare scenario. So, kind of interesting. Maybe he was speaking specifically about Punk. He was like, "Oh, this is nothing. That guy is crazy. He flies off the handle at the drop of a hat.
So I've been in that situation countless times. I'm used to it.
He's like, do you know how many times I've had to calm down? I've had to clean up a CM Punk situation? I'm joking. There's no evidence to suggest he was specifically speaking about CM Punk. But still, interesting. Jericho also on Busted Open Radio, mm-hmm. on the podcast or radio show, whatever. It's yeah. Sirius XM, I think it
yeah.
is. You know the one.
He was asked. Bubba Ray on it.
Bubba Ray's on it. Also, the Mark Henry's on it.
That's right. Dave that LaGreca. Other guy.
Dave LaGreca. Yeah, he's like the us on that show.
He is.
He's not a wrestler. He's just a dude.
Yeah.
Anyways, he was asked, simply put, is AEW better now than it was a month ago? Now, some context here. A month ago, CM Punk was in the company. Now he's not. And Jericho answered in the affirmative. He said, yeah, it is better now. But he didn't dive into details. But the
you know, not a surprising answer coming from him, especially.
No, it was not a surprising answer coming from Chris Jericho.
No. Hey, we never heard what happened at that summit. There was that summit that was supposed to happen with Tony and Punk and maybe FTR and Jericho at Jericho's house. Never really heard anything about that.
Do we know that it happened? I think
I don't
it
think
did
we
happen.
Know for sure if it actually happened. Oh, wow. Happened, but there, yeah, I think it happened.
What's all these summits that Punk was supposed to be a part of? Summit with the Young Bucks? And they were like, nah.
You're on 6 months probation. For 6 months before there's any sort of summit, Phil.
Right, exactly. And then the Jericho summit, everybody wanted a summit with Phil. My goodness. Could you imagine if you're such a polarizing figure that like everybody at your job had to have summits with you?
I know. That's you think summits are reserved for like tense political situations, you know?
I think that's what you're talking about with AEW, man.
Well, I mean, yes, but you know, the political world of pro wrestling is not normally what you think. Well, like growing up, I think of like Gorbachev and Reagan get together to summit about.
That was nothing compared to Punk Jericho.
I guess not. That was like my introduction to summits.
That was merely the fate of the world. This is much more important.
Yeah, I guess so.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Anyways, speaking of the fate of the world, there was a meeting to talk about the fate of WWE now that it's merged, it's Raw Gate muted to a different company, the UFC. PW Insider.
TKO.
Oh, that's right. They're TKO now.
TKO.
So PW Insider reported today that Vince McMahon.
Sorry, not to be confused with Insider.
Bro, I need to know what this Insider is, man. Anyways, yeah. So PW Insider reported today that Vince McMahon, Nick Khan, and Endeavor's Ari Emanuel, who Vince referred to as his boss, goddammit, held a meeting for all employees at WWE headquarters today. The meeting, which reportedly lasted between 12 and 15 minutes, was described to PW Insider as a rah-rah get-together and featured Vince explaining that he greenlit the merger with UFC because the company had, get this, plateaued and that the deal with Endeavor was needed to take WWE to the next level. Yes, Larson.
Like over the last 3 years, like WWE has year over year made more money than it had the previous year, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. Yes.
I mean, that doesn't feel like a plateauing. Plateauing is like, hey, for 5 years, we've been stagnant. We haven't made any more money than we did the year prior.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like ratings are on the upswing.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot of metrics you could point to thinking, no, WWE's on the come up, not plateauing anyways.
No, I feel you, and a lot of other people feel you, because Fightful Select reported that Vince's claim was similarly met with eye rolls from those in attendance and reaffirmed the beliefs of those who felt that Vince made the deal so he could remain in power at WWE. If you, like, again, this is sort of, I guess, playing devil's advocate. Chances are Vince did this so he can come back. I get that. But pretty much all big media companies are like these days, especially on a war path to like exponentially increase and get bigger and more profits for shareholders, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe Vince McMahon, him referring to the company as plateauing and my eyes are rolling as I'm speaking, was more like, this is obviously a move that we can make to exponentially get bigger, as opposed to get bigger on the, at the pace that we were getting bigger at. I mean, saying that we plateaued is stupid. If he had said something like, you know, our growth was impressive, but I feel like this can accelerate that growth to
more impressive.
This can accelerate the growth, but it is incredibly disingenuous. I agree with you. It's incredibly disingenuous to say their growth had plateaued, because it hadn't. Yeah, I agree.
It plateaued to be in 2018, 2019, but not now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not now.
So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how all that works out. You know, I honestly think this is all going to come down to, is this federal investigation of Vincent McMahon, of Vince McMahon, is it going to mean a damn thing? Did Ari Emanuel just sucker Vince McMahon into handing over his company for like not a mass? I know Vince is worth billions, but like, this is a merger, not a sell.
Yeah, I know. It's an interesting deal. You know, and speaking about the idea of WWE being in a position now to grow exponentially, I don't have the data in front of me as far as UFC's growth after Endeavor acquired it as opposed to before. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's a comparison to be made as far as what WWE could expect in the future based on what has happened with UFC. But you think any of the other prospective buyers that were rumored or thought possible, like Disney, like Amazon, like NBC Universal, whether those they were all any of them serious suitors to purchase the company or not, there are obvious upsides to any of those media companies purchasing WWE.
Yeah, right.
Whether it's influx of capital, whether it's chances for increased distribution. And again, I don't have the metrics in front of me as far as the UFC data pre and post Endeavor purchase. I just don't know what Endeavor has to offer that would make the deal from in terms of company growth better than any of the other ones.
Yeah. No, I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. I mean, you know, from what I was just reading this Forbes article about Endeavor being a highly, what is this? It's saying that a highly leveraged company with $3.2 billion of debt. And they've got, according to this, says TKO has less than 3 years to deal with a ticking time bomb. $2.7 billion of UFC's debt is due in 2026. So I don't know, man. I don't know. It remains to be seen if this is even a good deal.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not a good deal for shareholders, it seemed like, at least immediately.
What? Yeah, I'm trying to look at the price.
So I think when TKO launched, I think the opening share price was more or less the same as what WWE was trading at.
Yeah. That's what. Okay, so let's see. Oh, right here. Here we go. TKO Group Holdings, $105.50. That ain't really much different than what WWE was trading.
No, it's kind of held steady in the last week. Then.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it remains to be seen.
Could you imagine like Vince only did this deal to come back like nothing? And like, you just, yeah, I don't know. I guess it wouldn't shock me. He's weird.
No, it wouldn't shock me terribly either. Yeah. Something else that's not going to be terribly shocking is if AEW ends up on Max. Mm-hmm. That's Warner Brothers Discovery streaming service. So Winning Time, one of our favorite shows, may be canceled. But Max is getting into the sports business. Streaming service announced today that they'll be adding Bleacher Report sports add-on to the service for an additional $10 a month. You get your $10, whatever it is for Max now. $10 to get live sports. I'm talking Major League Baseball, NBA, hockey, amongst others. Sports Business Journal reported, though, after the announcement that, quote, currently AEW will not be a part of Bleacher Report sports add-on tier. However, Andrew Zarian, Matt Men Podcast, reported Friday via Twitter that, quote, I feel confident to say that AEW will be on Max in 2024, and AEW will expand its pay-per-view schedule to 12 a year.
That sounds like one of our going in raw predictions. He's putting in his own prediction, but he usually is pretty well tuned in to like front office stuff, especially both WWE and AEW. So if he says it, I would have reason to believe he's got a good reason to say that. He probably knows some shit.
Says, I feel confident this is going to happen. I'm sure he has reason to believe that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it remains to be seen. You know, when you look at the WWE, network and then the Peacock arrangement, it's a ridiculously good deal to get whatever $10 a month and you get all the WWE pay-per-views, such that it was such an industry changer because now AEW comes along, they're charging $50 a pop for their pay-per-views. If they go monthly and charge on top of the $10 a month for Max Sports, I don't know that I don't know they're going to keep on doing that. Hopefully they'll be able to cut a sweetheart deal and get their pay-per-views on Max just for that $10 a month, or at least the ones that aren't the big four. Clearly the big four, maybe even Forbidden Door still, are going to be at the full price. I don't know.
I mean, you risk, outpricing your product for a portion of your viewership. I mean, I know UFC, they have the, if they do that route where they, at least for the major four or five pay-per-views, you got to pay the $10 to get an opportunity to purchase pay-per-view. Well, that's like what ESPN Plus is doing with the UFC pay-per-views, and it's outrageous. It's
super expensive.
$10 a month just to get the opportunity to purchase the $70, $80 UFC pay-per-view on a monthly basis. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous to ask your fan base to pay that much every month, especially when you look at WWE and it's what, $10 on Peacock. You get the entire archive of what WWE has to offer. Peacock's a large streaming service. It's good for WWE. It gets more eyeballs on the product. Like quarter after quarter, they talk about how this show or that show did better than the year or 2 years prior because it was on Peacock as opposed to the network.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, if AEW can land on Max and do a similar deal with Max, like WWE has with NBC Universal and Peacock, like immediately they might not be getting the revenue they did from the pay-per-view buys, but you're exposing your product potentially a lot more eyeballs.
Yeah, sure.
And the idea, I guess, would be, well, you'll have people signing up who may not be subscribers to Max already sign up to get AEW content. The potential there for people who already subscribe to Max who might be maybe aware or completely unaware of AEW, come upon it. Oh, this is some decent enough pro wrestling.
I'll
watch this.
Yeah.
You think that would be the what would make the deal attractive.
Yeah. But who knows? Yeah, dude. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Max, Warner Brothers Discovery is in such a weird spot right now.
Yeah.
Where, they're,
they seem like they need money.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is they are, I read one, Twitter account the other day that just broke it down pretty simply. They're not interested in profit. They're not interested in anything beyond getting rid of their debt. And they're going to do everything they can to get rid of their debt. If they see an opportunity where there's a product with a ton of hardcore fans that are willing to plunk down $50 plus $10 for these pay-per-views, people can ask Tony Khan this question on podcasts and in press junkets or press scrums, and he can just dance around it. Well, we feel we're providing blah, 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 blah. And this was the way it was done for X number of, decades.
Yeah.
And we're just getting back to that. We feel our product is a value product. He's not going to be beholden to anybody except for the people at Max, and people are going to pay not the same number of people that are paying for, you know, their big four.
No.
And he better make sure that his product is really damn good to support that. Mm-hmm. But, and there's going to be the point of like illegal streaming as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I hope that they keep it consumer friendly.
Yeah.
And you know, $10 a month to get the back catalog and the pay-per-views. I think that's a good deal.
Oh yeah.
But you know, it's also the deal they have with Ring of Honor, right? Or it's the deal that AEW has for their consumers with Ring of Honor. And I don't know that they would consider the things equal, you know?
Well, you still have to buy the Ring of Honor pay-per-views on Fight, right?
Oh, you're right about that. Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that.
You don't, for $10 a month, you don't get everything in Honor Club. You just get the back catalog.
Yeah. So I don't know. Remains to be seen. But yeah, I'm not surprised that they'd go to 12 a month. It just makes sense. Makes sense to go 12. I mean, WWE established that standard. And yeah, I fully expected AEW to get there eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd think so. You think so?
Yeah. Anyways, that's it for this Quasi Punk Daily. Thanks everybody for tuning in. We appreciate it. It's sort of like a mellow slam dance. There you go. More like an Ian Curtis type thing. Down, 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 Punk Daily.
Goodbye, everybody.